Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
With us to discuss the basics of auto insurance and basically what should you do if you get into a car accident or damage your vehicle, Tom Paris is one of the top personal injury and commercial litigation lawyers in the city. He represents individuals and families affected by all kinds of accidents and medical malpractice. He's one of my go-to people. If you have ever called me for a referral, personal injury, Tom is top of my list. Thank you so much for joining us, Tom. How are you?
Well, afternoon, Karen. Good to be with you.
Yeah, let's start by defining some terms. And I want to talk about liability insurance, collision, and then comprehensive coverage. Can you tell our listeners basically what the differences are?
Sure. Liability insurance, it's more limited. You're simply insuring if you crash into somebody. And I like the word crash, by the way, more than accident because it's, I think, more descriptive, so I'll probably be using that term. More comprehensive or full coverage, you're insuring yourself, including if somebody hits you that doesn't have insurance, which, by the way, happens all the time, or has more limited insurance. So unless you're really in a financial pickle, I would highly recommend you go with full coverage because you're insuring yourself not only for crashing into somebody, but if somebody crashes into you that doesn't have sufficient coverage.
So I was talking to a woman who was a server, and she was in an accident, and she was surprised that her insurance didn't cover the damage to her car. But then when I talked to her, she didn't have coverage for her car. She just had coverage if she hurt somebody, but not her own vehicle. That can be, you can get that, right? You can omit your own collision insurance, right?
Sure, you can. Probably if you have a loan on your car, your lender is not going to allow that. But if you have an older car that doesn't have a loan on it and you want to accept those risks and you think you can financially deal with it, you can save a few dollars each year by just insuring your actions and potentially hitting somebody else and self-insure, if you will, for your own car.
So what are the limits in Illinois right now? And I think you sent me something that was, you know, maybe an idea that they're going to be lifted, you know, that the limits are going to be raised a little bit. What are the current limits in Illinois?
Minimum limits in Illinois that everybody is supposed to cover are $25,000per person, $50,000 per incident. So let's take that, what that means. So, for instance, if you're negligent and you hit a school bus full of kids and there's 10 kids on the school bus, any one kid can get as much as $25,000, but all of them together, $50,000. That's the minimum limits that you're supposed to carry in Illinois by as a matter of law. Now, that's woefully inadequate because if you've ever been to a hospital for just about anything, it doesn't take long to have a $25,000 medical bill add on to that. Pain and suffering, perhaps disfigurement, loss of a normal life and other things, and $25,000 doesn't go very far. And if there's more than one person in the car, it doesn't. So the next limits usually are expressed as $50,000 per person, $100,000 per incident, then $100,000, $300,000, and then $250,000, $500,000 are generally the markers that you'll see in insurance in Illinois. Are they going up? They should. And states who have increased them do not see an increase in premiums because it really doesn't affect how many people crash into each other, the limits. It's simply affecting who's going to pay or not get paid. And frankly, if insurance isn't going to cover it, you're going to cover it yourself or the hospital or collection agencies. And so $25,000, $50,000 is really bare minimum, and you don't have to go to a hospital or know too much about medical costs to realize that's not much.
Well, and as I see it, you know, there's ways to save money in your life, and that's not one of them. Because technically, if you get into a car accident, you gave the school bus example, and you have your $25,000 per child and $50,000 for the incident, and all of a sudden there's $5 million claim, what could possibly happen to you?
Well, you're going to be personally exposed. Just because you have insurance at certain limits doesn't mean that that's the limits of your exposure. If you have assets, if you have a job, someone can collect after a judgment is entered against you, go through what we would call post-judgment proceedings, put a lien on your house. You know, just because you have insurance limits doesn't mean that's the limits of your exposure. So if you've injured a lot of people, particularly if you've made a really bad mistake, perhaps you were drinking and driving, and the injured people or person doesn't want to be satisfied with minimal insurance, you're going to be on the hook.
Your house can be taken away, everything.
Away more than just your wallet, because then it's going to affect your wallet in other ways, because other insurance and other people that may want to deal with you financially are going to see that out there on your credit rating and other places.
I have a texter who said, let's talk about umbrella policies, which was my next topic. Tom, what's an umbrella policy? About how much do you have to spend for one, and do you recommend it to our listeners?
I highly recommend it. An umbrella policy is, as the name suggests, it overarches everything or covers all of your activity. And so if you have auto insurance, fine, but you might have a house. You might play golf and shank a golf ball over into the next fairway and hit somebody in the head. Generally, an umbrella insurance picks up after the 250-500, that is 250,000 per person, 500,000 per incident. And you usually get $1 million or $2 million or more in umbrella coverage. And it's very comprehensive, and it's far more comprehensive than just auto insurance. It's going to cover things that may happen at your home or apartment or life out on the street, as I said, playing golf or just doing something negligent. Broad coverage. What does it cost? That depends on where you live and who you are to a degree, but really it's not much. I'll say $500 if you have a 250-500 policy to add on to that $500 a year. And if you have assets that are going to be at risk because of a bad incident, a bad accident, a crash, umbrella coverage will save you a lot of grief and a lot of worry and a lot of concern if you do make a mistake.
Well, and you know, I think people want to protect their assets, whether you have millions in the bank or you just have a house that you're putting money toward every month. And the idea that, you know, and you know, you've seen this because you for decades have been a personal injury lawyer, but people trip and fall on your property. They slip and fall. You have a swimming pool and someone drowns, someone, you know, skinny dips and you know, you could be sued. And so all of these things you just don't think about. But if there's a death, you know, $50,000 is not going to go very far at all. And that's one of the things that I highly recommend. Again, $500 for you, for those of you who drink Starbucks, you know, that's not even your coffee money in the morning. So, you know, I highly recommend it. We only
go ahead. But let me emphasize, Karen, besides protecting your personal assets, the peace of mind that you will have by having a good lawyer that's appointed by the insurance company goes a long way. You know, a lot of us buy life insurance and we hope to never use it, but it gives us a certain peace of mind that if we die, our loved ones, whoever we have it in favor of, will be all right. Well, with an umbrella policy, it's your peace of mind because you know that if you do something wrong, something goes wrong, and you may not even have really made a mistake, but somebody else thinks you do, and you need a good lawyer to take care of that. So it's well worth it.
Okay, we have literally 1 minute, but I want to get to the texter. She says, I have full coverage on my 2023 car. I also have a $1 million umbrella policy on my home. Would this cover me if I had an accident and someone was hurt and wanted to sue me? I think the answer is yes, right, Tom?
Well, you qualified an umbrella on your home. I think that policy probably does cover the car. And it's not just simply with respect to your home, because if it were, it would just be a homeowner's policy. An umbrella is covering all of your activities in life, driving, walking, your dog, biting somebody. So it's broad coverage.
So that's a good thing. It sounds like it's good that you have it. Tom, can you just tell our listeners a little bit about what you do? We've got about a minute left, and how to contact you.
Well, most of my life is dealing with mistakes one way or another, litigation, and some are in lawsuits, some are not. You can get a hold of me through Karen if you want, or my email, tp@tomparislaw, is always open, and I answer that. You'll find all hours of the day and night and weekend.
Everyone's got a car, and everyone's got insurance, because you have to have insurance. But a lot of people don't know how it works and don't know what it covers, and that's what we're trying to talk about and give you a little education. Tom Paris, who is one of the city's premier personal injury lawyers, is here, and he's talking about it and filling us in. Tom, there is a texter who said, what about these lawyers who advertise on billboards who say, you know, if the insurance company is not paying, we'll get them to pay? First of all, what do you think of some of these people advertising, and are they necessarily the better lawyers in the city?
No, they're not volume operators. That while they may have a role, I mean, on my drive-in, I think there's a half a dozen billboards from my home to my office. And in a small auto case, there's a lot of support staff work, and that's probably what's going on there. But you're generally much better off talking to Karen or a friend who has had a good experience with a lawyer, rather than just going to an unknown, because more likely than not, you're going to be dealing with a lot of support staff unless you have a very, very significant claim. So there's a role for them, but that's not the first place I would shop for a lawyer.
And you know, there are some lawyers, too, and I really hate to say this, but the lawyers will advertise, they'll spend millions of dollars, but then they turn around and refer the cases to some other lawyers who may not be good at all. So they're kind of a broker, and they spend their money on advertising, not on getting to be a good courtroom lawyer or a good negotiating lawyer or a lawyer like Tom who sits down with the facts and the, you know, and the information and the documents and really knows his or her stuff. So
I think you're right there, Karen, because no matter where I travel, I see some of the same exact billboards that I see on my way in to
yeah.
my office each day.
Yeah, they go all over and do that very same thing. And again, you know, if you had a divorce and you'd liked your lawyer, ask your lawyer, what's a personal injury lawyer? If you've listened to me for 30 years on the radio, I have a good group of lawyers who practice in different counties and different states even, who I've referred cases to, whether it's a plane crash case or car accident, simple slip and fall. And, you know, I'm really happy to spend the time doing that. Let's talk about substandard insurance carriers. First of all, you know, a lot of people, you know, try to get the best price on their insurance. If you go for an insurance company that, say, is not rated, and you know, well, what could happen to you when you get into a car accident?
Well, first of all, that peace of mind that I was talking about earlier, that you buy insurance for, you're not going to have any, because if you do make a mistake and then end up in a crash or somebody hits you that has substandard insurance, then you're really going to feel it. So the whole process, which is already stressful because now you've been injured and your car is out of commission, multiply that by exponentially, because you're not going to have anybody to talk to. You're not even going to have someone to email. And then when you do try to get your car fixed, it's over at a crappy place that, you know, is using rusty Chinese parts instead of factory parts. And when you can't get your car fixed because now it's, you know, 2 months, 3 months, and you don't have a car, and they don't want to pay for a rental car during this period of time, your stress level combined with the injury you have are taking you to a next level of your injury. So there's a lot better places to save money than just trying to save a few dollars on insurance, because the peace of mind that insurance is supposed to bring you will be anything but. Stay away if you can.
It's a disaster. I mean, they refuse coverage. They, like you said, they can't get in touch with them. They operate, you know, on low budget, and you get exactly what you pay for. So I would recommend going with the better, well-known, highly rated insurance carriers. And if you have a broker or an agent, they will be able to tell you which companies those are. Tom, let's talk briefly about underinsured motorist coverage and uninsured motorist coverage and how they work.
Well, excellent, because most people don't. I have hundreds of people over the years I've explained this to. If you look at your policy, below the limits that you're carrying in case you crash into someone, there's also listed underinsured or uninsured. So if you, let's just say, for instance, you have 300 policies, so that you're insuring yourself for 100,000 per person, 300,000 per accident, and somebody hits you and it's all their fault and they have only a $25,000 policy, but your claim is worth at least 100,000 or more. Well, you can go under that section of your policy that's underinsured. You can go against your own insurance company. So once you've exhausted that $25,000 for the at-fault driver, you can go against your own insurance for the other $75,000. Same is true if it's uninsured. So somebody hits you, and that happens all the time, especially in the city of Chicago, who has no insurance, and now your own insurance is going to pick that up and pay the full $100 if that's the policy limits that you have. So again, this is an excellent reason to go with a mainline carrier because you yourself are insuring yourself for just this happening. And if you have a substandard carrier, believe me, you are the hassle that you're going to have to try to get anything out of them on an underinsured or an uninsured claim is going to make you almost want to quit.
And, you know, again, you like to think that everyone has good insurance, but they don't, because they cheap out. And there are, like you said, people who are not insured at all for one reason or another. And, you know, you say to yourself, well, I've got health insurance, it'll cover my medical bills. But what happens when you're out of work for 6 months? What happens, you know, when you have long-term, physical therapy that you need to have done that may not be covered sometimes by your health insurance? You're going to want to have that insurance that'll cover it, and that's your own policy. So really good advice. Ask your agent next time you renew, do I have underinsured, do I have uninsured, and how much would it cover? Very, very, very important. Tom, you know, I see this all the time. People get in an accident and they start talking to the insurance adjuster from the other side, or they don't hire a lawyer, or they think, well, let's just say that you're at fault, and you know you're at fault. You fell asleep at the wheel, or you rammed into someone from behind because you were talking on your cell phone, which you should never, ever, ever do. And you think, what, you have to hire a lawyer. Well, what should happen? What should kick in if you are in a car accident and it's your fault?
So let's just take it right there from the scene of the crash. Don't make any admissions because you might be making an admission that really you're not responsible for. But even if it is your full responsibility, you know, take the advice of television programs in a criminal matter. Whatever you say can and will be used against you. So I don't want you to lie, but you have no duty. You have a duty to talk to the police officer, perhaps, but not the other side saying, oh, I'm sorry, whatnot. Exchange information. Take a picture from your cell phone camera of the other person's driver's license. Let them do the same with you. Go to your glove compartment. Get out your insurance card. Take a picture of that. Let them take a picture of yours. So call the police. You want this reported. In the city of Chicago, police have, frankly, a lot of crime and other things to deal with, so you're not going to get them to come out often enough on just your basic fender bender. If you're on one of the expressways, the state police will be there, but the city of Chicago doesn't always just come after and, you know, out there for your average crash. If there's some witnesses around to this crash, try to get their name, try to get their phone number, because especially sometimes they have things to do and they want to leave, and even if they want to be helpful, if you need them later and you're not going to be able to say, oh, well, the blonde-haired lady on the corner who was wearing a red shirt, she told me that the other guy had the red light and he blew through it. That's never coming into evidence. So she has to say it. So you need to get her name and number and contact information. You probably got a cell phone camera with a camera on it. Take some photos of the damage that's around, maybe the stoplight. Maybe there's some snow somewhere. Maybe there's something that caused this crash. Photos are great. I mean, a picture is worth a thousand words. Don't be trying to say right there on the spot, hey, how about if I give you $100? How about if I give you $1,000? That's for another day. You don't need to deal with that at the scene of the crash. Let some time go by. Let's, the smoke clear, and then you can evaluate with your lawyer, your insurance company. And by the way, if you try to settle the case on your own, your insurance company may not want to deal with you later. They may say, well, fine, you've just blown coverage because that was our responsibility, and now you've put us in a bad position, and we're not going to cover you for this.
So
insurance company.
Yeah, let's.
You've got an insurance company. Let them know what's going on, and that's what you've paid them for. Now it's coming into effect. Help them help you.
He's in my office suite, so I see Tom every day. He works very, very hard on his cases and for his clients. You're in a car accident, and a lot of people don't know you get a lawyer. That's part of what you get, right? So you're in a car accident. You should immediately talk to your insurance carrier so you can get a lawyer involved, right?
They probably won't appoint one immediately when you are in a crash and let them know. But certainly any lawsuit that's brought against you, that's part of what their responsibility is, to retain a lawyer for you. Any big insurance company like State Farm and whatever, they have many, many lawyers in-house, but they also send cases outside to lawyers all around the city. So, yeah, you want a lawyer to do the talking for you, not making admissions and statements that will come back to haunt you and be used against you.
Now, when you are injured, at what point do you need a lawyer to negotiate a settlement or to bring a lawsuit? I think a lot of people think a lawyer is going to be expensive. People don't want to deal with a lawyer. They want a quick settlement. What are your thoughts about when should you get a lawyer if you're injured?
Well, first I tell people they should get a doctor. They should get medical treatment and get themselves better in whatever fashion they need. That's a better use of your time initially than a lawyer. That may not be a lot of advice that other lawyers give, but your health is more important. And frankly, down the road, medical records and what a doctor or a therapist has to say about your injury is sometimes more persuasive than what you have to say about it, especially to and as concerns negotiating with an insurance company. So it doesn't hurt to get a lawyer sooner rather than later, because there's a lot of nuances and things that a good lawyer will tell you that, such as I just told you, make sure you get good care. Don't play tough guy. Don't play tough girl and say, well, I think it'll go away. I'm not going to do anything about it for a month or so. And if it's still there in 4 or 6 weeks, then I'll go get a doctor. Because I guarantee you the defense is going to be, nope, whatever that injury was, it didn't happen as a result of the crash. It happened because you were at the gym or you slipped and fell or this or that happened, and you're setting yourself up for the, quote, gap in treatment, unquote, or just allowing the insurance company that you're essentially facing to point at something other than the crash because you decided to tough it out and just go to Walgreens and pick up some ibuprofen and hope that things would get better.
Tom, I see this all the time. People call me and say, I got injured, and my neck hurt. But in a week I settled it. The insurance adjuster was really nice and called me. And yeah, they sent me a check for $1,000. And now I realize I've got to get an operation because I had whiplash and it exacerbated something I had before. Now I want to bring a lawsuit. Well, you're out of luck, aren't you?
You're tough. You've signed that release, and that release is completely effective as to releasing your rights under, I'll say, 99% of the circumstances. So not a good idea. Not a good idea at all to think that, because, frankly, in that week or first month, even a doctor or a therapist may not know what's going on. I mean, they're not going to order an MRI the first time you make a complaint. Down the road, they may, and the evidence is there that now you've got a herniated disc in your neck or low back, and now you've settled it for $1,000 or $5,000 when that doesn't begin to cover the injuries and the lifetime of pain that you may have to go along with that.
Let's take a listener. I think it's Gerald, and hopefully we can answer it. Tom is not an insurance broker, so if this is about, you know, pricing and things like that, he's probably not going to be the guy to talk to about this. But let's see. You have a question. Oh, sorry, it's Louise. It says something else there. Louise, welcome to the show. You have a question about a young driver.
Yes, about a 17-year-old driver.
Okay.
My cousin is going out of country for a month. What kind of insurance does he really need to cover a 17-year-old with a van for a month?
So the 17-year-old's going to be traveling outside of the country and driving and wants to be insured? Is that what you're asking?
Well, the 17-year-old is going to be home with the van. The father is going out of country. He's going to New Zealand for a month, leaving the 17-year-old with the van. What kind of insurance should he have for the van?
Well, he should have comprehensive insurance, just the same as if he were covering himself. And generally, if he's a member of the household and not excluded, some people might have an insurance policy that excludes anybody under 25 or might exclude a specific person in the household, then they're not going to be covered. So it's a good question to ask the insurance company who is insuring the guy who's leaving the country. But his policy, if he doesn't want to read it himself, and they can be pretty technical, is unless it excludes somebody, and as long as they have permission to drive his van, I think they'll be covered.
And, you know, that's kind of the thing, that it's the car that's covered, it's not the person, you know. So and I would probably talk to the broker, the insurance agent, and say, I just want to make sure that my son, who's 17, is going to be covered, and, you know, make sure that the limits are as high as you possibly can, and maybe that umbrella policy that we were talking about. Thank you so much for asking the question. All right. Just before we go, this is off the topic of cars, but, you know, we've had a snowy, icy winter, and I want to talk to you just a minute about when is let's just say you're in a parking lot of a big store, you slip and fall and you break your ankle. Is there a lawsuit for slip and fall? What do you have to prove?
Well, possibly, but Illinois has a rule called natural accumulation. So if the substance or the reason you fell is just a natural accumulation of snow or ice, you probably are not going to be able to proceed because Illinois excludes it. An unnatural accumulation of snow or ice is the exception. Now, I had a case once where some brilliant architect or builder had a gutter going right down off the building and across the handicap parking spot, and the water would freeze. The water did freeze right on the handicap spot, so the person who needed the most help had the least help, and she slipped and severely injured herself. My claim was that water wasn't natural. It was unnaturally being diverted right across there, and then black ice forming under the circumstances of that case, and I was successful in that case. So the difference between a natural accumulation and an unnatural accumulation is really the big deal in Illinois. And I'll tell you that the concept of a natural accumulation of ice, even when it's smashed down at times, is very broad. They're very difficult cases to bring in Illinois, and they get worse every year, it seems.
And, you know, a word, you know, of wisdom would be, if you do have something like that happen to you, unfortunately, take some pictures. Take some pictures of where the snow was. Was it as a result of some shoveling that went on? Was it a result of something that was done by man or not? But Tom Paris, thank you so much. And can you tell our listeners where they can contact you?
Sure. Send me an email, tp@tomparislaw.com. And Paris is spelled just like the city. So tp@tomparislaw.com. Thank you, Karen.